always perfecting.
Welcome to Tanya Outside in G4. It's chapter 8, but we just got into a discussion about AI, so we'll go in that direction for now. What causes creation? What creates?
I think the soul, the mind. The poet feels something inside, like I want to describe something.
Well, if we let go to the most primal creation that we have, the most primal ability to create.
Babies, children.
Babies.
Right.
So what creates, what causes that?
A lust, a desire. It could be first lust. Rotson.
Rotson.
Right.
What's the trigger there?
Rotson, see, the male, this is a very surprising thing. I told you this about, this is a surprising thing from the Arizal, a very surprising thing from the Arizal that I learned from multiple sources, that the Yiddishkeit of the child actually goes after the father.
The Yiddishkeit.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. The mother raises him in the house.
No, but the child being Jewish goes after the father.
Unless you understand
what's going on Panemius wise. This is what the Arizal is. And it makes sense. And I'll explain to you why it makes sense. And this goes into what we're talking about here. And I saw this, my Rebbe told me this, Rav Mani told me this, Rav Hass qualified it from the, said this is just stemmed from the Arizal. And there's a strong Mishmaros I saw in the Or Chaim HaKadosh. Yeah, so listen to what he says. So the Arizal says that the Yiddishkeit of the child is after the father. So, okay, if it's a Jewish father with a non-Jewish woman, then okay, I can understand that. It was after the father, then the Zera goes into the non-Jewish woman, and somehow it's destroyed in there, and then she has a non-Jewish baby, okay? But if it goes after the father, how can it be that a non-Jewish man can have a Jewish baby with a Jewish woman? Does that make any sense?
Right.
So this is a very dangerous thought to hear, but I'm just telling you what I've heard, and this is what he said, is that a non-Jewish man who is with a Jewish woman, a hashkacha, has stuck to him, nitzos Yisrael. Nishmas Yisrael are stuck to him.
The
non-Jewish father. And they need to be taken out. So Bahashkacha Hashem works out the shidduch that he ends up with a goita, and those Nishmas Yisrael actually come through into the world. Shit, no? I literally nearly fell off the tail when I heard that for the first time.
When you put that.
Yeah, exactly. You don't tell that to, Sammy right. Cohen, who's marrying Chad from, Wisconsin. Don't tell her.
By the way.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's almost like, no, it's like he has something, it's almost saying that he's got, if you're going to be with him, he's got some mitzvos that are from...
He has.
Yeah.
That's even making it more positive from
certain.
We don't encourage
that's the point. That's what I was trying to say.
By the way, what Ramal said
is once that he's had the Jewish children, then he's really been emptied of the mitzvos.
What about a Jewish guy with a Garisha woman?
She somehow kills the... She destroys...
No, so
that's a very bad Indian,
no,
by
so
the way.
It's going to her?
Yeah, there is, but the non-Jewish... The 9 months in the non-Jewish Rechem is destroys that. And those people, the children, and this is the Or Chaim kind of said, if I understood it correctly, he said that the children born from that union become Sonei Yisrael. They want to hate Yisrael. And he also says another thing. He said a tikkun, I'll say this more in Hebrew, he said that a tikkun for the Sonei Yisrael, yeah, and that's all Sonei Yisrael, not just
Jewish
Sonei Yisrael, yeah, like this, but all Sonei Yisrael, the tikkun for them, or a tikkun for them, is to be Nerag B'yidei Yehudi.
What does that mean?
Right. Kill the Jews.
Okay. I just don't want to say that.
Okay.
So back to art.
What?
Back to the art. The art creation.
Yeah, that was just a crazy side point, yeah? The Or Chaim says that a couple of times. That's a tikkun for that. That's a tikkun for that human, is to be Nerag and B'yidei Yehudi. Anyway, so read the Orchai.
Is that,
not,
I mean,
not like reading
this one. Is that an encouragement, basically, to become a vigilante?
No, it's also, awesome. Like, it gives you a new perspective on you know, Milchamas, you know, Medinat Yisrael, maybe. I got no opinions. I'm just regurgitating information that I've been.
Is this some Googling?
No, this is in the Orchaim Kodesh.
That's the other thing you were saying that before.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that personally inside, but I heard it from both of my rebbes that is Shitasa Arizal. The point is, and this is why this has to be said, because if you understand Pnimius HaTorah, yeah, the kasher is Bichlal, how can it be that a non-Jewish man could have a Jewish child? Because in the male-female relationship, you need rots on the male needs by definition. The male needs, shalom, by definition, the male needs rots on. And the woman, someone could be ma'anis, a woman, yeah? They could force her, and she could get pregnant. But the rotson has to come from a man. If the man doesn't have rotson, it can't happen. Yeah?
He's ma'anis of his rotson. He's ma'anis, he has a rotson from the ma'anisar.
No, the other way around.
The point is that in the relationship between in the intimate relationship between a man and a woman, the man by definition needs rotson, and the woman doesn't need rotson.
If we're getting into it, we have to get into it. Technically speaking, can a man not be forced?
You need Avachai. That can't, if that happens, that's the point. Mechanically, there needs to be Avachai, which wouldn't, that's what we're saying here. That's the point. So there needs to be Ratzon. Ratzon is what creates.
But the Ratzon is a Gilu Da'at. The Atzon Amaisa is a Gilu that he has Ratzon. So you can't, Ratzon is spiritual again, something you can't
have. Absolutely.
10% Ratzon, 100%
Ratzon. Let's ask you a question. Look at this. Let's talk about it like this way. Remember, our Voida is Chassidim, and we're all Chassidim here, yeah? Our Voida is Chassidim is to go Lifnim Mishur Sadin, which means don't get duped by this world. Yeah? This world looks to you like X, yeah? See through the graphics and realize that you're not. It's like, you know, like the computer games when I was growing up in the 80s, yeah? In the early 90s, the computer games. They're the same. I mean, don't get me wrong, there are different things now, yeah? But there's a lot of computer games now. Like, my kids were playing a game the other day. Actually, it was a while ago now. But it was like, it looked unbelievable, yeah? Like, wow. But when you really think about what's going on, is you're either in the middle, at the side, or on the other side. And there's like stuff coming towards you. But all you're really doing is just going like that the whole time.
Good point.
Yeah? I was playing games like that, you know, like Arkanoids and you know, like little ball and this and that. What's the difference now? You've got crazy Pac-Man graphics.
Pac-Man before you.
Pac-Man, no, also, that was before a little bit, but still, what I'm trying to say is that the game's the same. You've just dressed it up with graphics. And if you're not a thinking person, you think it's a completely different game. But if you just put a moment of thought in, you'll realize that it's exactly the same. There's just different graphics and different sounds, and the experience feels different. But that's just the chetzonius. So the chassid is always lifnim mishur hadin. He doesn't care about the line of din. Yeah, he cares about what's going on inside. So in regards to understand, this is a good way of understanding this. Right, I want this cup of coffee. Yeah. So I'm going to take this cup of coffee. I'm actually going to say, Borcha Torah Dinoi, Eliheinu, Melech, Oilam, Shachar, Nir, Bivoy.
Amen.
So I wanted to drink this coffee. How did I bring this coffee to me? I extend my arm, and I bring the coffee to my lips, and I drink the coffee, okay? And so I want to take a drink from your bottle. Can you pass me a bottle, please? Second. I'm not going to, but look, no. Yeah, I take this. And I do the same thing. So now you would think, here I use my arm. Now in this scenario, I used Srulli's arm and my arm. Yeah? Now, I'm going to call Srulli, who right now is my personal assistant, just for the next 1 minute, yeah? And there's a bottle of water in Tel Aviv that I want to drink. So I asked Srulli to work that out. Now Shuli calls up his guy in Tel Aviv, tells him that he needs to bring this bottle of water for Shmuel to drink, yeah? And then I can drink the water. So now how did that come to me? Through Shloimi in Tel Aviv, driving over to Yerushalayim. He hands it to Shuli, and I take it from Shuli, and now I drink the drink. All of this is rotten. That's it. Melubish in my hand, Melubish in your hand, Melubish in... That's how you want it. When you look at Amazon, yeah, I don't know if we've said this before, but when that guy steps out of his, you know, black van and hands you that, you know, those headphones that you don't need, yeah, that really is Jeff Bezos actually handing you your useless item, your unnecessary item. Absolutely. Sure. Just like if I was to slap someone and then, you know, stand up in court and say, you know, I didn't do anything with my hand, yeah? Or if I was to throw a stone at someone and say, well, I definitely didn't think it was a stone. If I was to knock a stone off and it hit this and that landed on it, that's all ridiculous. That's all just caught up in graphics. It's all rotson. It's all my rotson flowing through. Now, it might have to flow through different things. And then it gets more complicated because then you could put your spin on it. That's like, and this is the thing about AI, is AI is still running off my rotson. But now it's like, see, when you're the difference between like a top photographer and an amateur photographer, if you get to take pictures, let's say you take pictures of Hasna, yeah? A top professional photographer is trying to portray the event exactly what they want to see from their event, but in a way that they could never imagine, with such sophistication and class and edge and, you know, dynamicy, whatever word you want to attach to it, yeah? But they still want to see certain things, whereas I've heard of amateur photographers or professionals who were actually amateur photographers who ended up taking, you know, 300 pictures of the colored shoes. Beautiful pictures of the shoes. Yeah. But you're like, one picture would be, maybe even two pictures of her shoes would be nice. Yeah. But a portfolio of like 60 pictures of the colored shoes and this angle, that angle, whatever. Yeah. And you miss my grandchildren. What's really going on technically is you've got a guy who's rotson, the photographer, his rotson is overwhelming the rotson of the Baal Simcha. The Baal Simcha wants to see, he does want to see the shoes, but he really wants to see the grandkids, he wants to see the ring under the chuppah, he wants to see a nice cheder yichud picture, v'chule, yeah?
I guess his rotson wasn't so clear that this other photographer could overpower it.
Well, that's...
No,
well,
he wasn't sophisticated, he wasn't...
That's the sort of professional way. Just try and understand what I'm saying.
But brevity could also be the rotson, his rotson, you know, if you have one picture, because I know that this picture of the grandchildren is the best picture of the grandchildren.
Try to understand, because we could get caught up in the moshul very easily. But just try and understand. The point is, yeah, whether we made it clear, didn't make it clear. The Baal Simcha has a certain rotzon to see these five pictures. Yeah, one of the chasam, one of the color, one of the tables, one under the chuppah, and one of the yichud. That's his rotzon, yeah? As a professional photographer, as a top professional photographer, you know that. You don't need to ask them that. You know that because all you're thinking about is the Baal Simcha and you're trying to break your head. What would he really want to see? An amateur photographer is caught up in his own rotson and he's like, oh, wow, look at these shoes. They're gorgeous. Let's just tick that. This is gorgeous. Wow, if you put it like, no. Yeah. So now what's happening in the two scenarios is you've got the amateur photographer. So you've got the rotson of the Baal Simcha that's flowing down, and then it gets cut off by the rotson of the amateur photographer. Okay?
Destroyed.
Now you've got a very high level, or let's say you've got now a decent professional photographer, not a high level professional photographer, a decent professional photographer. Yeah? Now that means he gets the right pictures, yeah? But it's not like, you know, Baruch Hashem, he got a picture of the grandkids. It's not the best picture, but Baruch Hashem, you know, he was bottled to the Rotson, but his Kalim weren't... It was, you know, Baruch Hashem, he did the job. That's like a mitzvah b'di'eved, lahavdil. He did the mitzvah, yeah? But then, it's actually a nice way to say, I never thought of it like this, but then you've got the high-level professional photographer who not for one second forgets about the Baal Simcha, not for one second. He would never dream of wasting energy or battery power taking pictures, you know, more than five pictures of the shoes. Because he knows that the Baal Simcha might put one in the album, but not really, you know, whatever. So he won't spend more than 70 seconds on the shoes. Yeah? Whereas the amateur photographer gets caught up and spends 30 minutes with the shoes, yeah? But the high-level professional photographer, what does he do? The ruts of the Baal Simcha is flowing through him, and he's using his kalim to express that ratzon in the most fabulous way. That's called doing a mitzvah with avinura, lahavdil. That's the idea of giving yourself to the mitzvah. You're not just a kli. You're a mamasha. You're a sophisticated, intelligent, powerful kli, but you're still a kli. So you're doing exactly what the Rabbanu Shalom wants.
You don't have a separate ratzon.
Exactly. Your ratzon has been. So you hear the point here. So now, how do you work this? So now plug that into AI. You know what I'm saying? It's an interesting. This comes out very interesting because if you don't do anything with AI, it just sits there. So when I'm running, I'm be making all these songs now, yeah? And I feel that I'm very present in these songs. Like my ratzon, again, my ratzon, not my kalim. Because I've got not one musical bone in my body, yeah? Nothing. I can't sing, I can't play any instruments, I can't... I'm not even like such a... I don't care about music so much, yeah? Amazingly enough. I used to as a kid, yeah? I've really got no musical bone in my body. So I've got no... So it's made me think about this, yeah? Why has it been, since the beginning of history, that only the people with musical kalim were allowed to make music? That's so unfair.
We're
caught up in thinking that the kalim are where the music comes from, but we're learning in this generation that's not the case.
I think, well, it could be the other.
But you understand the answer, Mazim?
Yeah, but it could be both. It could be that the people who end up developing the kalim are the ones who have the ruts.
Yeah. Could be.
Because if you had the ruts, maybe you would develop the kalim yourself.
There's a guy that I know, a very talented person, you might even know him as well, famous rabbi, who understands art to the level that I understand art. Yeah, I understand art. I've been doing it for many years, and I've been teaching it for many years. I'm really on a high level of understanding imagery, yeah? And so to be some guy with it, that's just how it is. And he isn't an artist, but he understands art in the same way. And he understands not only art like that, he understands, I mean, writing's interesting, because writing, there is also Kalim, a lot of Kalim actually, but things like art, yeah? There's a special connection that it needs to be from a mind to a hand. So as a photography teacher, yeah, I've seen this many times, is you get students who are looking at the world in a really interesting way. I can look from, if I can see people's pictures, within maybe seeing three or four pictures, I can generally tell how tidy they keep their bedroom or how their house looks. Like really, you get an insight into how someone looks at the world through seeing their pictures, yeah? So you see these people who they see the world in a really interesting way. They're getting interesting angles. They're getting in close. They're getting back. They're composing things. They've got a sensitivity to how imagery works. Yeah, they've got no clue about the camera, so they're very limited. You with me?
They have the eye, but not the technical skill.
So that we just say that, but let's think deeply what that really means. Yeah, that's exactly. They have the eye, but not the technical skill. And then you get other people who I know who are, you know, a decent, you know, established photographers who've got no eye whatsoever, but they've got the technical skill and they've learned tips and tricks and whatever, and they bumble through and they take decent pictures. So you see, so the camera, when you first see what happens as a professional photographer, and it's actually interesting because this is the Indian, and I'll answer up an interesting question halacha right now. You'll appreciate this. I don't want to pull you over, just this one thing you'll appreciate. That the din of chatzitza, yeah? Anyone knows what chatzitza means? Chatzitza means,
A
barrier. A barrier, yeah. Like if you've got like schmutz on your finger, if you've got like some tar on your finger, like a zefet, like, you know, and you wash your hands in the tidis yadayim, it's not going to help because there was a chatzitza. Yeah, there was a barrier, a blockage between your skin and the water. Okay, that's dinei chatzitza. It's a huge Indian halacha in dinei nida in every endless places. Yeah, so especially in hilchas mikvah, obviously. So there's a special din by an uman, yeah, by a craftsman. Let's say, for example, a painter. You know the din? If he has paint on his hand, it's not chatzitza, or a sofer. If a sofer has dyoi on his hand, or a moil, if he has dam on his hand, yeah, blood on his hand, it's not chotzitz. Whereas the same thing, the same dyoi on my hand would be chotzitz. Yeah, the tilis yadayim wouldn't be good. Get the halakha.
If you're a mechanic and you have oil on your hand.
Exactly. Maybe, exactly. Or you're a butcher and you've got blood on your hand. Yeah, exactly. That's right. The Indian. I mean, there's more to it. You have to how much and if it has mamashas. So, there's much more to it. But, and I understood that by the Indian of photography. Why? Because again, I've been taking pictures since I was 11. Yeah, I'm 46, and I think a lot, and I got to a high level in it and everything. And I've been teaching it for, you know. I've had lots of photographers under me. So I'm a high level craftsman in regards to tzilu, so I can talk about this. When the beginner photographer, and like I said, I've got thousands of students literally. So when the beginner photographer gets the camera, you'll see them. They're like, you know, I haven't got a thing on me, but they've got their camera, and you can see the way they're holding it. Their feelings towards this machine, they hate it. They wish there wasn't a camera because they've got the person in front of them and they can pose them. They can, let's say somebody's got some natural skills with photography, yeah? They can pose them, they can see, but this camera's like killing them because they just don't know, you know, you've got all these dials. I'm talking about an iPhone, yeah? You've got all these dials and all these buttons and all these variables and all these numbers. And they're like looking at this thing and they're like, okay, 1 minute. And then they set this and they're like, 1 second. And they're like, and you can see they like hate the camera. It's a sonar. They wish there wasn't the camera, yeah? Now, as they get better and they get more practice, yeah? Now the camera, you could relate to this in regards to your car. Remember when you first started driving? Probably don't remember, whatever. When you first started driving and how it happens, how you progress, yeah? That as the camera, as you get more familiar with the camera,
it becomes your extension.
Well, that's quite a long time from now, but at least it starts to become not a sonar. You tolerate him. Then he starts to become like your friend, yeah? But then when you get to the level that I got to, there is no camera.
Just your eye.
There's no camera. And you know what, when you get to the level I got to, which is a very high level, there's no camera, there's not even a subject, and there's not even yourself. There's just one, everything becomes one. Yeah?
The
Matrix. I think that, what?
The Matrix.
So you've just merged into a oneness. There's not the photographer, photography, and the one being photographed. There's that, all of that collapses into one thing. And you,
it's art. It's basically art, putting it all together.
It's basically everything.
You're explaining photography in an artful way.
Well, it's the same. Yeah, that's called an umanut. That's what we're talking about—a craft, not just an art. It could be ligurut. It could be carpentry. You're driving your car as well. What happens is eventually, at the beginning, there's you, there's the machine, and then the driving and the road. And eventually, you get in the car at like 11 o'clock at night and you're home at 1:45 and you don't even know what happened. You get out of the car and you're like,
I don't think the sofa has to be in oneness with this.
But that's the union of an umanut. A high level uman has become one with his art. That's what I'm trying to say. So opi halacha, that's expressed by the fact that his the chomer of his umanut that's on his fingers is in the chotzeitz.
He
becomes one.
No, that is what he's saying.
He doesn't even know
what it is. The pshat of the halacha is that he's not makpid. That is the pshat of the halacha. I'm just trying to give you an inyan into it. That he is one with his. Just trying to understand the inyan. Yeah. So this is what we're talking about in regards to creation of art. Yeah. Now, in regards to the camera, there's a very clear thing. But what about like a guy who's got an imaginative, he's got an amazing imagination, yeah? But he never really learned English properly. So he's like, he's not got much of a vocabulary and he can't write to save his life. That's not fair. Why is that? So his kalim aren't like Steven Spielberg's kalim. And he didn't have the opportunities.
But all these people before AI could have just hired somebody. Could have hired a ghostwriter.
No, you still need to know.
So the same thing with AI. It's just free now.
That's the point. That means it's not accessible to everyone.
Just like a person could pay a teacher to teach them how to play music.
But no one did. So I'm trying to say what we're learning from AI when you think onto it with an oimek. Is Hashem is showing us that we've been caught up in Kalim for all these years. You don't know what a human being is. You think a human being is someone who creates art? Well, that's the spitz of humanity. You're creating art or music or literature. That's not the spitz of humanity. Spitz of humanity is becoming Lishma. In fact, that's all humanity is how much Lishma is there. Everything else is just Kalim. And now in our generation, if you think for a minute, you're seeing that's being pulled away from under your feet. The last 2 weeks I've spent involved in Midjourney. Yeah, I was using ChatGPT, DALL-E, whatever it's called, to make images. They did an upgrade, which for me made it useless, basically, and whatever. So I went over to Midjourney. You've heard of Midjourney? You've looked at it? You've been through Midjourney?
Midjourney.
Is it a visual? It's a visual.
My wife made a lot of art.
It's major, it's amazing.
Amazing art. Amazing art. There is a koach also to
avadai, and I don't have it. But so what I've been doing, yeah, is I yeah. There's really a koach.
It's
can't
a language. You're learning the language, and then you're learning.
Absolutely,
zechap.
100% zechap. Yeah. You could learn. It's not so difficult.
She figured it out.
What I've done, because I haven't had the time to learn anything new right now, I found a workaround. Right. The workaround is, and it's been an amazing insight for me, is you type in Be'erach the image you're looking for, and then you can search other people's images, and then you can actually get into their Midjourney accounts and look at all the images that they've made. And you can see, you know, dozens, hundreds, trillions of images of this image that this person has made and the tweaks they've made. So now you've got people creating imagery that just again and again and again that compared to anything that used to be.
You know that the amount of images created since they started this image generation?
Just from my account. Just for my account, would be thousands.
The images created since they started trillions. With the image generators,
hundreds of trillions,
are more than across all history.
Of course, I've created it. I create daily. I have to. They keep pushing you into the higher madrigas. I'm paying out $30 a month. Yeah, I had no intention to do that, but now I get infinite generations. Every picture I generate, it creates four images, and then the one that I like the closest, I click. If you click it once, it creates four versions of that, and I go click, 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 and create 16 versions, four really similar, X and 12 completely different, but based on it, yeah? you're just like, so now the Kalim of me, and now I'm able to turn that. So think of it this way, yeah? You learn something from the car someone drives. Let's go to America. What do you learn about someone from the car someone drives?
About the person or the car? I'm sorry.
What do you learn about the person from the car they drive?
Well, about status, ego.
You learn a lot, no?
Success, money,
money.
You learn
a lot of things.
If he's nervous, if he's relaxed.
If they're a wealthy person and they're driving a posh car, you learn something very harsh of.
Well, you have to know other things, but okay, fine.
I'm going
to
say, but from the car, okay, but when you see the car, you learn stuff about them. This is the point, is you learn about someone from their preferences, from their choices. So when I ask the AI to give me 10 options for a line of how to say this, and I choose that one, that's an expression of myself. I haven't got any conclusions on this. I'm just throwing out, I'm just thinking about this a lot. But don't...
What's an expression of yourself when you choose a...
When I ask the AI to get me 10, to write this, rewrite this line 10 times,
right,
which I do all the time, or 5 times, whatever, then I go through and I choose that line, or I choose that bit from this line and that bit from that line.
Yeah.
I've just revealed something about myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So is there really art then, if it's everything out there in the world?
This is my question. Was art really art in the first place? Or is it just another use of the brain? This is the question. You know, I'm saying something that should be very uncomfortable for most people. Was art anything in the first place? Or is it just the computer of the mind doing other stuff? Because we've always thought it's about the soul. It's what?
Malacha.
And this is not Malacha. This is not Malacha.
Well, you just said something more, Dick. What's Malacha?
Malacha is
getting part of yourself.
Creating art.
Malacha is what?
Getting part of yourself.
No.
I don't know. Malacha is
creation.
Shabbos. It's a lot of malacha. You said the opposite thing to what you're saying, but what you just said, I'll open it up for us as well. This is a super important idea. But bear with me, okay? Let's take a few minutes.
You're saying it's all the rotsom, but there's something to what he's saying that it's beyond the rotsom. It's the actual action.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Let's think about that. What does that mean? Because the minute we get into the world beyond Ratzon, now what is that? Listen to what you said. We've got us to Malacha,
effort.
Yeah?
Effort.
Hmm?
Effort.
No, wait. Let's go back to Malacha. Because you said it's not Malacha. You said that Malacha is art, and this... I don't know what you mean by Malacha.
Art, I'm saying art, by definition, part of art, by definition, is Malacha and Yetzirah. Okay, Yetzirah also in
very, very specific.
Yes.
The thing we say, it's extremely specific. Masa Yadenu Kunonehu.
In regards to what?
In regards to we should connect with the Hanav Hashem through the handiwork of our own hands. It's the bracha that Moshe gives to completion of the Mishkan that we're constantly. We're using over and over.
Don't forget, the Mishkan though was completely, there was no creative input into the Mishkan whatsoever.
But it was exactly the point. It was inspired from above, just like we're seeing AI. It's just the Hashra, take out the ego from it.
Wait,
not us that is creating, coming up with the creative power.
No, you're giving.
But we're doing the malacha with our hands, the actual.
No, it's
that,
the opposite.
Something.
It's the opposite of that. You're giving the creative energy to the AI, and the AI is doing this bit.
That's exactly the prompt. What does prompt mean? All the images created, all the creativity that's always been at its disposal. And you're just saying, could you mush all the creativity that's
you're
ever
saying,
been in the world?
What is that? That is called creative. Creative act, identity. It's not the same thing.
It's an important, very important thing. So is creativity.
So this is an interesting thing, yeah. So we as Western people, we worship creativity. Yeah?
Creativity.
Let's say we don't know what creativity is right now, yeah? But we love news. We love things that are new. We love to see the next thing, yeah? We love when the artist comes out and, you know, and he's created a whole new style of music, and he's, or the artist, we celebrate cubism and expressionism and postmodernism, and we celebrate, as things become new, we so that's called creativity, yeah? Something becomes new, you create it from new. That's what Bria means. It's the Ashmi iron, yeah? So as a wedding photographer, well, that's what creativity, that's what creation is. Creation is, Bria is Yeshmi Ayin.
Bria, okay. Creation is not Yeshmi Ayin.
Bria is creation. Creation means no, Yeshmi Ayin.
But creativity is not Yeshmi Ayin.
Say then, okay, it's a moshul.
It really
a moshul.
Isn't because your creativity is coming from a basis of things you've already seen.
Yes! This is what I'm trying to say to you, which is a din on.
No, but this is definition.
That's a din on Ratzon or on Seichel?
Seichel.
Be both.
No, it's a din. So it's a din on you. The what drives the seichel is ratzon, yeah. But the creativity is actually a din on seichel, and I'll tell you how I know this. Because again, I got to a very high level in photography. People pay me tens of thousands of dollars to take pictures of hustlers, yeah. Like mamash, a lot of money, fly me all over the world to take pictures, yeah. There's a very high level, and they were paying top dollar, and they were expecting insane creativity. That's my job, was to create pictures that they just go wow, 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 again and again. Thousands of pictures for a wedding, yeah? 1,500 to 2,000 pictures where, you know, there should be, you know, hundreds of wows, yeah? Which means I have to constantly be creating, I'm getting paid to be insanely creative. And that was what exhausted me. That was the exhaustion. And I would, nobody uses their mind like, you know, imagine the last wedding I shot, I did a gemach for someone, but the last real wedding I shot in Chicago for this Duke of Year, I was working from 9 a.m. in the morning until 3:30 a.m. in the morning. And I think I got maybe a 15-minute break, yeah? I lost, and this isn't the first time, it's happened many times, I lose a buckle on my belt, yeah? Not because of water, but because of, the main energy being used is my mind. And what will happen is when I get there and I get to this match at 9 o'clock in the morning, yeah? And they're getting ready and whatever. And I'm with my assistant and my other photographer, whatever it is, yeah? And so I get the ring from the bride, I get her shoes, and I get, you know, the flowers. I get all the patchy bits and pieces, the earrings, and I go off into, usually I get, there's a little room I can use, whatever it is, yeah? And when, if you're with me, you would see that once I've taken the things, once I get into the room and I put the things down, I start to sweat profusely. Crazy, dripping. It's in a freezing cold room.
Are the shoes?
No, believe me, it's happened before. You drip on the mirror and you're like there for like half an hour trying to get the thing clean. And so, believe me, that happened. Literally sweating profusely. Yeah, and if I'm with other people, people who work for me know that happens, yeah? And within about less than 10 minutes, I'm bone dry again, yeah? But people who see me there, like if it's the colour or the you know, the chevra there, they're like, you okay? Can I get you some water? You know, they worry for me because it's literally just dripping off my pants, my beard, dripping, yeah? Why? Because when I get into that mode, my brain, I haven't shot weddings for couple years now, but my brain would move into a whole new level of action that most people's brains, that, yeah, I can imagine, you know, like top surgeons, again, it sounds like Guyver did, I don't know, but I can imagine a top surgeon's brain would have to start doing crazy things, and a fighter pilot, but most people don't have to ever use their brain like that. Most people never know that their brain can work like that, yeah, where it moves into a whole different world. And the energy that the system uses is on a whole different level. Like To quantify it, I saw a thing from what's his face? Tony Robbins. Yeah, Tony Robbins. Yeah, an interview with Jordan Peterson, and he said, like he measures everything, you know, they measure. He said that he uses over 12,000, so yeah. He uses over 12,000 calories when he does one of his
calories.
It burns up.
He burns 12,000 calories when he does his 12-hour thing on stage to the chevra that, you know, he does these big things, yeah? He uses his brain probably more than I use my brain in photography, yeah? But that's another example of that kind of thing. But what's going on? What are you... What's the difference between that and a normal brain? As in, a powerful computer and a not powerful computer.
Is it, when you're in that state, right? That's not an actual state. You're not in a state of gavi. You're actually not conscious of yourself, right? As you were saying before.
That's called flow, yeah. That's called flow.
Right, the word hashra'ah in Hebrew, it speaks to like hasharit. It's a resting. The
creativity
of something above, beyond us, beyond the ego.
This is my point. This is this is what we're discussing. Is it, or is it that from my experience, I've seen lesser photographers. Again, it sounds so guy-ridden, but I'd rather be talking about somebody else, but it happened to be me who got to be very good at photography, yeah? And I've had work through me, you know, dozens and dozens of photographers who I've been coaching and helping with whatever. So it's just a good example that I can use, yeah? And I see that there are certain people who long to be a great photographer, but their brain just doesn't work like mine. And when they go out and take a bunch of pictures, they might be technically okay, which is something you just learn, but you walk back and you look at the pictures and you're like, that's nice. That's, you know, every now and again, you'll get a wow and it was kind of luck. Whereas the way I can see reality and I can make it look wow. And it's just stuff that I've learned and the way that my brain works. It's all kalim. So I'm trying to say it's all kalim. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying something really disturbing.
It's
meaningless. It's like your shrooming trip.
What?
You think you're seichel or you have seichel? You have a seichel.
Is this the same point as the story about the last time you took shrooms?
What?
That it's just whatever it is, it doesn't really...
Well, no, don't get confused. That's going to be confusing. We're talking about Kalim. Yeah? So, like, what credit do you give someone who gets given a beautiful... He gets given a beautiful car. What, you start calling him, wow, you know, amazing, amazing. What about he gets given a decent car and he really makes it nice? Okay, you give him a pat on the back, but it's not like... That's not him. That's the same with Kalim. So we pray, we worship Michael Jordan. Yeah, it's like, I love it how Hashem did it in America, because in England, the sports aren't... Like, basketball's a great example, because in basketball, you know, everyone says, oh yeah, Larry Bird was short. Great. Yeah, you got one short basketball player. Yeah, otherwise, everybody's like, you know, at least 6'5", you know, at least, basically. Yeah? Like, why do you... So there's a prerequisite of basketball where, no one did anything to get that. No one, you know, developed their height, you know? You've won too.
We praise the skills they developed after the natural.
Great. So now that's what we do praise. You're right. So we praise Michael Jordan, the fact that he did, you know, 5,000 layups a day. Yeah, that's what we praise. But he could do 5,000 layups a day if he's like me, like 5'6". Yeah. What's he gonna do?
Right.
We're really learning what having a relationship with someone is. Because if you're caught up in the kalim, if you're caught up in your children's kalim, yeah, then that's what's called an avataluy badava. This kid's great, an avataluy badava, a love that's dependent on something. Because seichel is a thing. Ratzon's not a thing. Yeah, Ratzon's a person. Ratzon's a person. That's why it can create. But we've been caught up in the world, and now I'm seeing Hashem's clearly pulling the curtain away, saying you guys have been caught up for the past few millennia thinking that
what's the other side? Like, what should that have?
Finish the point first. Finish the point.
Wow.
What should it be? Because what we're saying, it can't be either one.
What's Ava Talib
done? The work that he does, your Ava shouldn't be Talib for the work your child does either. or for the gifts that he's given. From what So let me ask you,
what you're calling, when we talk about unconditional love, so we're talking about unconditional love, the guy gets straight A's, the guy gets straight E's. Unconditional love says, I love you.
Right.
Yeah? Conditional love says, straight A's, I love you more. Straight E's, get out of my house. Yeah, that's clear.
But that means that you appreciate him for the... So,
that's cool. I just said what you said. I just spoke it out. Unconditional love means whether you get A or E, I love you.
Either way, right.
I love you. That's unconditional love.
So what's that love coming from? Though? So what do you... Yeah.
So in Loshana Tanya, and what I've learned from my Rebbe, is we do use the word love for that, but it's not really love in the conventional. There's two words. We use love, we call it an avaraba, and we have other levels. We have two levels, and we call them both love. Yeah, it's called Ava Patanugim. Anyone who's been learning, you've been learning Hashem before?
No.
So you've missed a few. So this. Everyone knows about Tainug, yeah?
Right.
We've learned about that Tainug is really, if you think Rotson is the Mensch, yeah? Rotson is just the expression of Oynig. The real Mensch, if you want to boil down reality to the most binary level, which is a good idea, something you should always be doing, yeah? Then you'll realize that everything is just a choice between you and him, which would really be phrased in the words we're talking, between your pleasure and his pleasure. That's what reality is. Reality is a choice between my pleasure and his pleasure. And if I've worked really hard, or I had nice parents as well, that helps as well, and I've managed to align my pleasure with his pleasure, then the work can become quite pleasurable. But that is what reality is. Whose pleasure is more real? Your pleasure or his pleasure? Do you understand that?
I think I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure how that... I don't know how that answers the question.
We didn't answer it. I just laid a foundation, yeah? So the essence of what you are is called pleasure. Yeah? Pleasure. And then the next level out is called will, rotson. Rotson is an expression of pleasure. What pleasures you want, okay? So there's a love called Ahava Rabba, which is also called Ahava Batanugim, which means a love of pleasure. Yeah? That's described as coming from above. Then there's what's called Ahavas Oilam, and others. Then there's the emotion of pleasure. So we use the word love to describe, I'll explain in a minute, but there's two levels of love. There's the emotion of love, and then there's something else which is caught up in pleasure. We don't know what that is yet. What is the emotion of love? What is it?
Where is it or what is it?
It's
simple.
It's a happiness. It's not a fact with you. Like,
so
identification.
No.
Giving
it's
so simple.
It's
a chemical. What does it do? That could be true. What does it do?
And the
English is beautiful. The English lets us know what it is.
Is it pleasure?
No, love them.
Really?
If you love someone and they're in prison, you can't pay, you can't be with them because you suck.
Intimacy.
That's getting closer.
Intimacy.
It's closer. It's so easy. Love is movement towards. And if you want to be even more specific, and we can really break this down granularly, love is actually described, the moshul for love is a kiss. Yeah? What's a kiss? What is that?
Sharing.
You're sucking in. Wow. So in truth, love is not really a movement towards, it's a drawing close of the other to you. That's what love is, if you boil it down to the... That's how I... Kakibalt in the Rabbi side. Yeah, that love is simple. It is the drawing. I made an extra chiluk if you want to get really granular, really pixelated. But love is a drive towards.
You just
and therefore
pull
towards, bringing you towards, pulling them towards you.
Is the green flame wanting to return back?
That's the other one. And you have to get this clear, yeah? That's Ava Rabba Patanugi. The irregular Ava is the... It's bringing close or coming towards. it's closeness. Yeah, yeah. And you can get into granular if you're bringing the closure or you're going closer. Yeah, what's fear? The other emotion, the only other emotion. There's only two emotions, ava and nira. Yeah, everything else is a misery with those.
Well, building walls.
It's making distance. That's it. It's as simple as that. And that's in, see, fear, in English you have ava. The word ava you translate as love. In Hebrew, the word yira you would translate as fear, as awe, right, as respect, or even as hate. Even as hate. What?
But they also say you, don't have, you can't get
to Ahavat Hashem
without
Yirat Hashem. I can't
hear my... They also say
yeah.
You can't get to Ahavat Hashem without Yirat Hashem. And those are, like you're saying...
You can't get
you
to them.
You need Yira to get Ahavat.
Oh, okay, that's a whole different thing. That's a different... Yeah. That's true. We could speak for literally ever about what we're saying.
But that's just, you have I'm fear trying to get of back God, to the point. Like you have a fire, you're in trouble.
Let me get to... If what?
I have that. You're in trouble.
If you what?
Have fear of God, like you have a fire, you're in trouble.
It's yeah, that's not a good thing. Yeah, fear of God is meant to be an awe of God. Like an overwhelmingness of God. Not that he's going to hurt you. That's not really fear. Riyaz or Onish is not fear of God, it's fear of you getting hurt. It's fear of pain. It's Ramash.
How is drawing close or the desire to draw close?
It's the desire to strike close. And that's why if you love someone dearly and they go to prison, yeah, and you can't be with them, it's a pain. Because the pleasure of Ava is in the closeness. Not the desire to come close, if it's being prevented, causes pain. Because it's sir. So Ava, the emotion of Ava, is love dafka, pleasurable. I mean, in fact, it could be pleasure or pain.
The achievement of closeness is...
That's the pleasure. The pleasure of emotions is the expression of emotion. How is emotion expressed? Yochum knows this. How is emotion expressed?
How is emotion expressed?
There's only one of three ways that emotion is expressed.
Oh,
and that's summarized in one word.
Emotion.
Yes. Behavior, thought, speech, action. Love and fear express themselves in behavior. How do you behave? Which includes thinking. So if there's a break between the emotion and the levushim, like we know about each other in this room from what we're wearing, yeah, it's an expression of who you are. That's what levushim are. Behavior expresses who you are to the outside. So, but what's being expressed is the emotion. So, one second, just finished the thought. So when we don't love dafka, you're right, you can wear somebody else's clothes. Again, we can go in any loads
I
of
clothes.
We finished the thought.
Let's finish up.
Wait,
try to understand, as opposed to try to not understand, which is, that's a favorite thing of many people. I'm not saying you do that, but many people try to not understand, but it's much more productive to try to understand, and then later, maybe. Usually when you do that, then there are no questions anyway. Anyway, an emotion is a desire to come towards and or to go away. That's all an emotion is, yeah? We're going so far. What were we getting? Oh, yeah. So we're trying to say, so what's that? We have the two kinds of loves. You've got your love for pizza, you've got love for your kids. You have children?
No.
Okay. So you have your, I don't want to get personal people, yeah? Yeah, a man has a love for pizza and a man has love for his son. Okay? Now we know intrinsically they're not the same thing. Yeah? Yes. Your love for pizza is predicated on what?
Pleasure.
Okay.
Wait, but forget like why do you like pizza and
hunger.
Not herring?
If you're not
hungry, it gives you pleasure.
Why?
Because you have.
How does it give you pleasure? How does it touch your pleasure?
Now, there's a pleasure
taste.
Point in your.
You like.
We discussed this last
so
time.
Deep. Just more passion, man.
Tastes good.
Yeah, it's not. It's like you like cheese
so
and you don't like slimy. What?
It's like drugs. Cheese like
whatever. It tastes good.
Certain cheese and you like this pizza over that pizza. Why? Because this pizza has certain qualities and this pizza doesn't have certain qualities. So you're loving the qualities of the thing. You understand? So my love for pizza is the same. If I love my child because he's a great kid, it's the same love.
So that means the only person you could have that type of love for, only human being as a child. Because you pick every other relationship.
The point is that you can love everything because of the qualities.
Verstehen?
Okay, so you
that's, respect, this is the oimek of
Avraham. But to get a deeper respect of them, you're going to have to, there's going to be, to love them all equally, you're saying?
No,
we're trying to explain. This is a deep idea, a very deep idea. So we've got the love, which is the love of pizza, yeah? Which, don't get me wrong, a lot of people still have that love of children. That is called an Ava Talia Vedava. It's a love that is dependent on a thing. The reason why I like that next door neighbor as opposed to that next door neighbor is because he's got qualities that appeal to me and he has qualities that don't appeal to me. Yeah. So it's an Ava that is dependent on a thing. The quality is a thing. You with me? And that's the same with pizza. It's exactly the same. Exactly. So if you love your child because he keeps getting straight A's, yeah, your love for your child is exactly the same as your love for pizza. Maybe it's just if it's just predicated. The difference between pizza and child is that a child subconsciously knows that you don't love him. In fact, I'll be the Tanya, the way the Lashon is that if you love someone for X, yeah, then the way the Tanya describes it is your feelings towards that someone are called hate. It's as if you marry a woman for her money, yeah? Now that means you love the money, but she might be quite a nice lady, you know? You might get on with her, yeah? According to Tanya, you hate her. If you're, that's the lust of the Tanya. If you're married, but Ikka is the money, then it's relative. It means you hate her. And she will experience that hate on a mystical subconscious level, however it will. And eventually that will end in rebellion. And that is the biggest reason that I understand why children go off the derech, is because the parents' love is predicated on something. The way it works, I'll be Kabbalah, when someone's love is an avatalu badava, that thing that is being loved, it does have free will if it's a person, but the nature is it will rebel against the one who's loving it. It will push away.
How is it even possible? Even if you love your own son.
Wait.
Even if you love your son.
Except unless it's your child.
Okay, you love your son.
Or a Jew.
Love your son because he is your son.
There you go. This is called Avraham Tanugim. What you're just saying. Is you? Yes, it's
no
true.
Reason you love.
You, yeah, you love him. Well, that's not
there's
a
no reason.
Reason. It's not about
I love.
Him.
I love my son.
It's not about quality. Him. And now we're getting to understand what it means that Hashem chose the Jewish people. Stay with me, okay? Stay with me. We're still in. Everyone's going to understand. It's all going to come together. It's all going to click. There's a lot of Hashem. Yeah, that this is an avatalu badava. That's called emotion. Yeah, your emotions go this way and go that way, and that's dependent on stuff. Yeah. The love of your child, yeah, or the love, it could be the love of your friend as well. Friends are more difficult. It, definitely the love of your parent. The Zion Kroivin, yeah, which is parent, which is mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, and spouse. Yeah, the Sheva Kroivin that we're in the Sabbath.
Siblings.
What?
Siblings.
I said brother, yeah, sister.
Brother, sister.
Those are the Sheva Kroivin. Those are who we're in the Sabbath over, yeah? All these relationships absolutely essentially have to be this is called an essential relationship. That you don't love your dad because that statement is a wrong statement. You don't love your child because that's a wrong statement. You love your child, you could say because he's my child,
or you could even say in spite of
that. It's fine. Yeah, that proves the point.
If your kid was a serial killer, you would still love the kid.
That accounts for Hashem's love for us, even when we're choiter. That's why he doesn't give up on us. And that's the reason why when Avraham is introduced in the Chumash, we've said this many times, what does it say? When we first meet Avraham in the Chumash, he says, I'm going to make you a goy gadol. When he introduced Noach in the Chumash, what does he say?
qualifies.
He gives him three big shvachim of Noach.
It also might be.
It gives three big. The fact that he calls him Tzadik, that's right, already right, something, right. Yeah? It's Mishalech and Hashem, Tzadik B'doyroi, and what was the other one?
Salah.
What? Motzechei, yeah, there's three big shvachim, it says by Noach, and by Avram it's just like, get out of here, lech lecha. This teaches you the entire difference between the relationship of Am Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael, and the Umos Olam. The love of the Umos Olam is predicated on behavior. If they behave correctly, yeah, then you love them. By us, if we don't behave correctly, it's really annoying. It's like the difference between your kids and your neighbor's kids. If your neighbor's kids misbehave, then you just don't have anything to do with them. If your kids misbehave, it breaks your heart. Because you love them. But right now you want to kill them. Right now you hate them. I mean, you don't have to put your hand up as a parent, because I know if you have children, you have gone through experience, you have gone through feelings, yeah, where you hate your child more than anyone else in the whole world. Yeah? I'm sorry to call a spade, and you've definitely had those feelings with your wife, for sure. Countless times.
It comes from a certain connection and love.
It's
called an emotion. It's called an emotion. The problem is that we think emotions are so choshev. So now I don't like my wife right now, and it could be I'm going through a hard time for a month, could be a year. Some people go through it for longer than that. Rachmanis, yeah? Now you think, well, we should get divorced, because if I don't love her anymore, well, then what's the relationship? That's like a guy who lights Hanukkah licht for the experience, if you want to bring back to experience. He's lighting Hanukkah licht because he wants an experience, yeah? Let me ask you a question, what's more heilig? You light posel Hanukkah licht, and you do the meditations, you have the music, and the kids behave themselves. Even better, the kids went out for the evening, yeah, to somebody else's house. Yeah, and you do the meditations, and you have a tremendous ruchnius experience. But the Hanukkah licht was posel. Or you had a kosher menorah, and during hadlaka, yeah, your four-year-old soiled himself. As you were saying the bracha, all of a sudden he screams, there's a terrible smell, and you have to go to the bathroom. You spend 15 minutes dealing with, as we know, I dealt with this a couple of days ago. Yeah? What was more heinous? You went through all the olamos the day before, yeah? And then the next day, you just barely squeezed out the bracha, and you're besuffic because there was mamasha, there was soya in the vicinity, and you started saying before you knew, and now you don't even know if you're yotzei the, and you lit the menorah, you don't even say the matzah, and you run to the bathroom. By the time you get back, you're covered, and you're so dejected, you just want to eat the latkes, and you're really angry with everyone. You can't compare the two things. Yeah, there's one is reality, and one is not reality. Yeah, that's the same with marriage and love. Yeah, what's marriage? Marriage is a kasuba. Marriage is a bris. I'm with you. Don't care what. Now it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense to bring a lot of love into that. A lot of sense. But if you think that marriage is predicated, the way people think it is there's love, and now we love each other, so let's get married. So marriage is an adornment for love. That's the imagery. That's the visual. You've got love, and you pretty it up with marriage. That's absolutely backwards. There's marriage, and you pretty it up with love. So what's marriage?
Commitment.
What's marriage?
Commitment.
What?
Commitment.
Contract.
You really believe that? Why do we have
people? What? Wait, I'm making this very black and white so you can understand, okay?
I'm curious. No, but like theoretically, if we really believe that, we wouldn't have the contract.
You wouldn't have a concept of a get. No, that's not true, because there's a mitzvah also to have a get, and there's certain reasons to have a get.
There's a reason.
Why? Yeah. So let's not go. But I'll give you the way I'll explain it, the way that my Rebbe explains it, is that a divorce is not an option. A divorce is like when a person's got a bad arm. Amputation isn't an option. It's the last case scenario when everything else fails. The option is you try this treatment, you try that treatment, you try... Everyone knows you can cut the arm off. That's not, you understand what I'm saying? It's a very good question, but let's see. But what I'm trying to get to is marriage is, yeah? Are you married, sir?
No.
No? Okay. You married?
Was.
You were.
Was.
Everything was married.
Well?
Everything was married. Find someone who's married
I'm learning now enough as I'm getting more public that I have to stop asking people things.
Joel's married.
I'm married, okay? How long are you married for? 15 years, I mean 20 years, whatever. So 21 years and a few days. That you are as married today as you were the morning after your chuppah. You're not more married. You can't be more married. You with me?
Because there's just something done. The relationship is about.
That's different. The
marriage is
the experience.
Marriage is binary.
Exactly.
You're either
it's
married.
Not about the experience. Well, you're not married.
Wait. It is about the experience. It's also about the experience. It's also about the experience. Wait, don't. No. You're not treating marriage correctly. You're not. The way you're being to marriage is actually wrong. When you say, well, it's just that is what marriage is binary. You're either married or you're not married. And never ever lose track of that. Now, the avoider of marriage, that's not
building
binary.
The muscles, right? That's a different story.
But what we're saying is without the marriage, there is nothing. The marriage is a bris, yeah?
100%.
So the behavior is something that you have to work out. That doesn't determine the marriage. The feelings are something you have to work out, but that doesn't determine the marriage. You know what, usually, you talk about divorce, yeah? Probably for 95% of divorces, what I find when I'm not in a good place with my wife, is if I go and do stuff for her, I'll start feeling much nicer towards my wife. Yeah, don't get me wrong, there's definitely situations that are chemical and physical and stuff like that, but a lot of the time it's because you're just selfish and you should get over it. Yeah, a lot of the time, from my experience. Sorry to...
Woman.
What? The woman. Yeah. Of course. It's the other woman. So
G4.
So
is the woman.
So we're getting back to your question. We're still talking about what's the love of a child and what's the love of an avad shaloi tali b'davar and a love that's tali on something. Is that the avad that's not tali b'davar is what we're calling the bris. That's a bechira. Now, he chose us. I'm not going to get into that right now. That's a whole big thing. But just trust me, this is the same Indian. That he chose us for
what
no reason. Shalai
Talim Gavar is called bechira?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
it's not bechira because you're choosing because of that. It's not bechira chavshes.
Exactly.
It's because
also,
it's the quality.
That's what bechira means when you are choosing for a reason.
No.
I chose.
That's cool. But so real bechira, yeah. Hashem's choosing in us, was not that. When I offer you $100 bill and a $10 bill, and there's no quotes, you can take one or the other. Which one do you take? Do you have a choice?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You're compelled by your seichel to take the $100 bill.
But I don't have a choice to control my seichel or to,
well,
or
then
to control my actions.
So if you want to prove me wrong, now again you're not choosing. You're being manipulated by an external force. Real choice. This is a big inyan. This isn't. These are inyanim. Don't think you're. This has taken me years and years to get these ideas. Yeah. We're opening a Pesach for you to realize that Panini Satoya is not Vortluch on Shabbos afternoon. Panini Satoya is a lot of avoider to get inyanim clear. A lot of avoider, just like nuclear physics. Yeah. It doesn't just come like that. Bechira is a choice when all of the external things are exactly the same. That's real bechira. And you're like, well, then what are you choosing? I offer you a $10 bill and a $10 bill. There's no choice. That's where there's choice. I don't want to get into
that.
Thank you very much. Shkoyach, kol tov. Let me, wait, one second, before you leave, just put it like this, yeah? There's two kids in front of you.
Right.
They're identical. Exactly the same. The same temperament. They look the same. They dress the same. We're making up a scenario. Exactly the same, yeah? Which one do you choose? Doesn't matter, flip a coin. What if I tell you that one's yours? That's choice. When everything external dissolves, now what are you choosing? That's the relationship that we're talking about. That's called an ava batanugim. Yeah, it's a love of pleasure, meaning. Sorry, come on, man, that was important for you to hear that. Yeah?
If you don't mind me, just make sure I understand. What you're saying is that they're both Bechira. One was external Bechira, one was internal Bechira, but they were both choice.
In the Chabad Sfarim, the way they refer to that, which makes it very helpful because it's not talked about in many other places I've seen, although Rav Hass, my Rebbe, who's not Chabad, knows this very clearly and explained it in Yanim this time, so it does exist other places. There's Bechira, and then there's Bechira Chofshis. In Chabad, they make an infinite an infinite chiluk between Bechira and Bechira Chofshis. Even an animal has Bechira. Maybe a little less than us. And a lion can decide that he's going to eat that carcass as opposed to that carcass. Put two plates of food in front of a cat and he will prefer this one and not that one. So animals also have a level of Bechira. Bechira Chofshis animals don't have. Yeah, and I don't even know if human beings have Bechira Chofshis. In fact, from the way I understand it, what? Only Klal Yisrael has Bechira Chofshis. And Hashem's Bechira in Klal Yisrael is a Bechira Chofshis choice. And that's why he's still with us throughout all of our Averas and through all of those, because he doesn't have a choice. That's the irony of Bechira Chofshis, is you don't have a choice in it. It's you. It's not something about you.
But it starts off with as much as it's a Bechira internally, there's an internal reason. Some people might not realize what this internal thing was that got them to like this person, namely a wife or a friend.
With a wife is different, with a friend maybe, it says Kunei Lecha Chaver, but with your parents it's not like that, with your siblings it's not like that, with your children it's not like that. Yeah, your wife is a different thing. And with Am Yisrael it's not like that. When the mitzvah of Yehavta Lerecha Kamoicha is this what we're talking about here. Because if it was predicated on everyone being nice and stimming with your sensibilities and your smorgasbord of what tickles your peaches, how are you going to love every single year? You have a chiyuv d'oraisa to love
internally. I respect a lot of different things. So even if you're being dovish with me, I could like you. I can maybe even love you. I can love you because I don't have that. That makes you so much more.
And I'll tell you what, that is not the mitzvah of Haftarecha Kamoicha. That's why it's for Haftarecha Kamoicha. Your relationship to yourself, which is an essential relationship, an unchosen relationship, that is Avos Yisrael. And that's why, what's the mitzvah the Goyim have? What is it that Hillel says in Shabbos? What does it say? When the Goy asks him for the whole 12 in one foot, what does he say? No. That is so telling. The whole Torah of a Yid is v'haftarecha kamoicha. The whole Torah of a Goy is the alayich sari l'chavecha lo yisavid. Why? Because the relationship of a human being to Rabbeinu Shlomo is predicated on behavior and seichel and emotions, v'chulei. Yeah? Stuff that you have, not who you are.
What, your relationship to Rabbeinu Shlomo, you say?
To Rabbeinu Shlomo. We'll call that to reality, yeah, to a human. Whereas the relationship of a Yid to Rabbeinu Shlomo is not predicated on any of those things at all. It's predicated on he is us, we are him. That's what we call Shechina. Another word for Knesset Yisrael, it's called the Shechina.
It's also not unconditional. It should be unconditional.
So we call it, this is what I'm trying to say, when we talk about unconditional
love. In spite of.
That's what it's called, unconditional. So when people talk about unconditional love, what they're really talking about, this better not be the case, and this can people fall into this case, where you turn around to the child and you make a hachlata in yourself, a decision. And you say to yourself, I don't care what this kid does, I'm going to love him. That's the worst thing. Because now think about it in a visual, the kid has become secondary to the love. The kid's now, he's like, what, love's more important than me? And he'll feel that as well. That's why unconditional love, that's why it's called Avat Talmud. I don't know why. It's called a bris. It's a bris. Your child being born from you is a bris that can't be broken. You can't break that bris. Yeah? Marriage is a different inyan, but it's the same. It gets much more complicated, much more nuanced, and you learn amazing things. But we're just putting it out right now. We're just opening the door to understanding these inyanim. They go very, very deep. Very, very deep. Or I should say they get more superficial. Right now we're trying to give that a basic idea. That's what it means, an Avos Ein Atari B'Dover. I love you. Why? Because you're my son. Which means it's not you, it's me. That's what it means, Asher Bachabanu bi'ahava. He chose us with ahava. Why is ahava, what's Gematria ahava? 13, which is also echad. It's a revelation of why, and that's what it means, that we're the Shechina. We are, Nishmas Yisrael is the Shechina. So the Goyim said it really well with Yoshki, They talk about Yeshua being God incarnate in this world, yeah? And we're like, what are you talking about? How can you say that God's man, yeah? What's the Shekhinah? Describe to me the Shekhinah in ancient Torah terms, Pasha Jewish Hashkafa. What's the Shekhinah? God present in the world. Yeah, the Shekhinah is called Pai Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, Am Yisrael, whatever you want to call it. Yeah? Rachel. Imatata,
so they're
Machinisa,
off just in the person Malchus, they chose. They just limited to that one guy. Really.
That's it. They made a mistake. They limited it to one guy. Am Yisrael is God incarnate in this world.
Can't
so when he... What?
You can't worship the presence. You're not allowed to worship anything else than Hashem. You can't worship the Shekhinah.
I know, but that's you just said a massive thing there that is so unpasha, and I can me and my cutness could already quote a bunch of sources that's really not pasha. So let's not say that. But I don't know if the goyim are meant to be worshipping Chayso or not. I don't know the halacha. You have to speak to someone much, much bigger than me to know that. Yeah, whether they should be worshipping Am Yisrael. I don't know. And you see from the Mishnayos and stuff,
it'd be a good start.
If you're worshiping the Shekhinah, I don't know. But I mean, so understanding that Knesset Yisrael, but this is the point, yeah? Is Knesset Yisrael is the Shekhinah? Yeah? Is the Shekhinah something, is the Shekhinah something other than Hashem? No, Chas v'Shalom. The Shekhinah is the presence of Hashem. It's Hashem. We get into break that the Shekhinah is Malchus Tzitzis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the six midas of Tzitzis, if you want to say, and then you've got Abba and Imma, and you've got all the different shameless situations.
So
it's all what?
The Satan is also the presence of Hashem.
What is?
Satan.
Not like the Shekhinah.
Am
Yisrael is Hashem's presence in this world. So when we say that Hashem chose Avraham, it wasn't that he chose Avraham, that's a different thing. It's that he chose Am Yisrael. Look, and where do we know that it was this? Because we were in Egypt. We were so rubbish at this point in our history. We had never been so pathetic.
But that's not where that's not where he chose us, Bechir Chavshis. He chose his Bechir Chavshis at Matan Torah. That's a Bachar Bano is Matan Torah.
Say that.
And that's why he didn't. That's
the
why he
setup,
didn't call
it's
the
all
Jews
one
out.
Shlav. It's all
that's
one Shlav. It's all one Shlav. The Esa Makas, Chris Yamsuf, Matan Torah is all one Shlav. It's connected by the Oymer. I hear you're saying, and you can definitely learn big things from that as well. But he redeemed us from Mitzrayim when we were mamash pathetic, yeah? And he schlepped us.
But the point
is that his love for Am Yisrael is not predicated on our behavior, and that's the love for your child is not predicated on behavior. And this is what I found from my experience as a father. I said this to many of you, and I'll say it again and again and again: is that if you say to your child, yeah, and this is why I say it's not really love. Because if it is an unconditional love, meaning that your behavior is not going to affect me, that's like being stoic. Like the word stoic, yeah? I will not be moved by your behavior. What will the kid do? He will start to push you and push you and push you until you are tough and moved by his behavior. Because if you're like, no, I'm going to love you, and then he'll, you know what I'm saying? You understand? Because he feels secondary to the love. So what we're calling an unconditional love is really not an unconditional love. The unconditional love is what we really call the relationship. That's the bond. That's the bris. And that's binary.
With child and with God?
And with God. Same. That's binary.
So then part of the relationship is something outside.
Yes.
It's not just this inside.
Part of the relationship.
You're saying when it started, it was internal, this Bechira Chavshas thing?
It's like a screen. You look at a screen. You've got an LCD screen, yeah?
Yes.
The screen is the screen is the screen is the screen. Yeah?
Like
you ever watched an image get generated on Midjourney? It starts off like black, it gets more pixels, and it gets more, and all of a sudden there's an image there.
Okay.
That's the relationship. It's not like there's the relationship here, and then there's the love, and the fear, and the simcha, and the pleasure, and it's all part of the thing. No, it's completely different to that. There's the screen,
which
that's
is what?
The relationship.
Yeah.
And then you've got everything else that happens in context of the relationship, which is the image on the screen.
The Bechina Hashem in that is recognizing that you are the screen and that God is the screen. That's the Bechina Hashem. You understand? It's not called. It doesn't make sense to call it.
But
now
my screen
love.
And his screen is very different because I have a different relationship
that's
with God.
That's
depends
from the
that's
experience.
That's called Masri Tanugim. Because if you go back to the essence of who you are, yeah, then you'll realize actually your skill, his skill is the exact same thing.
Exact same?
The exact same. That's called the Haftarach. Kamoicha. Kamoicha. Why is it Kamoicha? Why does it put your name at the end there? What's Cha? What's the difference between you and your name? V'yom Yehoshem Echad v'shmoy Echad. He and his name. That's why you say Harry At Mekudeshes Li. You use second person. Second person is beyond name. You have a name. Just like you have a seichel, you have emotions, you have a name. When I say you, yeah, that's beyond name. That's why that's who you marry.
It's the screen beyond the picture.
Exactly. That's what you're marrying. That's why we say, the you beyond the name before any separation, differentiation, fragmentation, anything other than binariness. Yeah, that's who you're marrying. And if you can stay connected to that the whole time, then you will be able to weather the ups and downs from my experience, probably 95% of the time.
Is there no definition for that non-binary screen, whatever you want to use? Is there no definition for it?
I just say it's Ava Rabba Batanugim is what it's called in Tanya. That's a love that is a... And so, wait, I was getting back to what a phenomenal thing to say to your child that builds, that is so... I can't think of much things more important with your child, is turn around to your kid and say, what would you prefer? That Abba says, I love you, or that I will always be your father, no matter what. There's nothing that you can do or that I can do and anyone else in the whole world could do that would stop me being your father. If I die, I'm still your father. If you die, I'm still your father. There's nothing that can happen that can change that. That's the foundation that your child needs. So when your kid comes back and he did really well in his exams, yeah, give him a pat on the back and say, kol hakavod, and always say, you should know that if you failed your exams, I'd love you in the exact same way. And that's the choshuvness about the kid that tests your patience. We've said this many times, yeah? When you've got, I mean, in my family, I've got my straight A kids and I've got a bunch of kids. I've got my straight A kids and I've got kids that aren't like that, yeah? If I only had straight A kids, yeah? You realize the danger for the child? The child might never know that you love him because of anything else other than the A's. And you might always have a nagging thought in the back of your head thinking, what about if I fail my exams? Do you think Abba would still love me? That's very unsettling for the child. Whereas if you have a kid who isn't straight A's and you demonstrate the same relationship as with the kid who has straight A's, and the kid who has straight A's makes a connection and realizes that in fact, hopefully, will make a connection. Understand that your love for him is not predicated on his behavior. Because a love predicated on behavior is called a back-to-back relationship. But a love behavior is a thing. That's why it's called an Ava Talui Badava. When it's and that's going back to the whole thing. This is where we got into the whole question was about AI, yeah? So now we've talked about all of the, this is really, we actually stayed on topic the whole point. Now what's AI? It's just things. And it comes out that maybe art was also all along just things. Maybe even music was just things. Maybe. You have to be prepared. I now know that the computer is better at art than any human ever has been ever. Yeah? And from my little knowledge of music as well, I feel the same way as well. And with the writing as well, it appears to me like that.
But not all art is the same.
But not technique.
Excuse me, I would say a second that maybe you won't like to hear, but okay. Some would not consider wedding photography art.
Okay. So.
Well, they never saw it, really.
But you never saw it. Look at, go to my website, look at my photography, and you'll see that's why I was able to charge. was able to charge five figures in dollars for a wedding.
Because it was pretty, if it wasn't art.
What's pretty so, enough?
This is the whole place you're trying to get to.
Art doesn't have to look pretty.
When you study art, I went to an art, this was years ago, I went to an art exhibition.
It's not about art, it's not about pretty.
Well, this is your, that's, again, I'm
not
sure.
Not my definition, go to museums, not everything there is pretty.
You're right, wait, now, is it the museums that define what art is? I went to the last art exhibition I went to, Baruch Hashem, was many, many years ago.
Is modern art pretty? Is a circle?
Wait, I went to the Tate Modern many years ago, and it was a woman called Amy something or other. And you know what the prize, the main exhibit was?
No.
Cordoned off with the things.
Toilet.
It was her bed.
Her what?
Her bed.
The bed.
Yeah? It was disgusting. It was a filthy piece of art. Imagine, you know, an active woman who's not married, yeah, her bed. And it was cordoned enough. That was her art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And everyone's wowing and umming and ahhing and thinking into it and pondering and da da. So, you know, whatever you want, you can call art whatever you want. You can call everything art if that's what you want to call art. But if you want to go back to the, and also
in the Torah, there is a difference. There is Melechet Machshevet, and there is, I think, I don't know, Melechet Lev or something like that.
So, and these are Melechet
Machshevet.
Again, it's not the same. So listen to, we wanted to say this. If anyone needs to leave, please leave. But this is, I was trying to explain this to you. Melacha is, everybody that I always learn this until I learned from my Rebbe, different to this. I always learned that Shabbos is the idea of creation. Is you abstain from creation, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That's not true. It's pashut not true. And why do you know that so clearly? Because of malacha hoitzah, yeah? Or you say, because you're created by moving it in this place. But listen to this for a new definition of Shabbos, yeah? Which should hopefully blow your mind. Yeah, what is, go, let's take Sedur Sapas. Yeah, what's the first malacha of Sedur Sapas? Let's say Harisha. Yeah, plowing. Why do you plow?
To plant.
Transformation.
So you can plant. You don't just plow a field. You plow a field so you can plant.
Right.
Okay. Now, why do you plant?
Because
you need to reap. You need to do koitzer. Why do you do koitzer?
To eat.
You need to do maima. You need to. It's a process of 11 processes until you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you eat on Shabbos?
Keep yourself alive.
Not Chas V'Shalom, not on Shabbos, that's awesome.
On
Shabbos, you eat for Oneg. Why do you like, what is it? No one else answers this. What's your name?
Halil.
Why do you like pleasure?
Why do I like pleasure? Because it makes me feel good.
Why do you like feeling good?
Why do I
that's
like
called
feeling
pleasure.
Good? Why do I like feeling good?
You just transpose pleasure
it's
to feeling
one,
good.
It's one and the same, I mean. Feeling good.
You know why you can't. You know why you can't think of an answer?
No.
It's the same reason. Why do you want to live?
But sometimes I want to die also.
Yeah, okay. So let's not get.
When you don't want to
let's
die.
Let's just say. The default.
We all have these.
Even when you feel like you want to die, someone puts a gun to your head and say, you know, the chances are very, very likely you'll beg for your life. Yeah. That's the chances.
Okay,
you don't really
that,
want to die. Yeah,
okay,
you might think
okay.
You don't. People don't want to die.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Life doesn't want to die. Why? Because that's just what life is. There's
mm-hmm.
no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why you like pleasure. Yeah, you like pleasure.
We talked about it last time because it makes me identify with myself. With
no,
my
that well, that's touching right. pleasure. But you're, the reason why you like pleasure is just that's what you are. That's who you are. So there's no reason. Why you?
You really are what your ego is.
Let's say that
we've
got
your ego. Is.
Okay. Say that. There's it's more complicated, but there's still. If you want to look, think of it generically, it's
okay.
Really we can talk about this. Yeah.
Okay.
So you do all of these acts for the pleasure of eating, and Shabbos is about the pleasure of eating. Yeah.
Okay.
You're not allowed to do things for koyach for later. That's us. It's funny because our whole take of Shabbos is well, it's a rest.
Mm-hmm.
So you just think, I suppose I'm resting, so I've got koyach for the next week. Asa, you're not allowed to sleep on Erev Pesach and say I'm doing it so that I'll be up tonight. That's Asa.
Mm.
You're not allowed to do so. So the rest of Shabbos has got nothing at all to do with having rejuvenation for next week. It's funny, the Pshat is completely the opposite of that. So it's about pleasure. So what is a malacha? And it's the same with all the malachas. And this is why Hotzah is the semel, is the picture of all of Shabbos. Yeah? What are you abstaining from on Shabbos?
Things that are not
improving.
Yourself.
The future. You're living in the moment. Anything. Sounds like you're living in the moment, no?
Process.
Process. You're abstaining from means to an end. Pleasure is an end. Why do you like pleasure? No reason. Why are you planting? Because I need to reap. Why are you reaping? Because I need to gather. Why are you gathering? Because I need to dosh. Why are you doshing? Because I need to zo, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. That's called means to an end.
So you're doing what satisfies you now.
Wait, what?
So you only do what you're supposed to only do what you're that satisfies you in the moment.
Well, what you want for itself, not for an alternative, not for an ulterior motive. Mm. That's called klipa. What do you do? What do you do with a peel of an orange?
Throw it away.
No. That's what klipa is. Klipa is a means. Klipa is a means to an end. Definition of klipa is something you want, not for itself. That's called an avatalu badava. That's called klipa. You know what I mean? Something you want for itself is really called kedusha, but it depends if you're talking about what self you're talking about. But that's the difference. Now, why does it cover over? And this is getting to the point of what you're saying, go all the way back to the idea of klipa covers, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone tells you, what's klipa? It covers over, yeah? That's a feature of klipa.
Protects.
Klipa is a means to an end. You can say it protects, yeah. But it has an ulterior motive. It's there for a different purpose. So let me ask you a question. I'm going on a holiday, for a skiing holiday, yeah? Why do I want to go skiing?
Well,
it's pleasure. Let's say that's my pleasure, skiing. Don't get into the women. Yeah, exactly. It's pleasure. So I'm going for skiing. Now I have to go on an aeroplane.
That's the process.
That's klipa.
Right. Okay.
I don't want to be on the aeroplane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I you know what? It could quite be that I like aeroplanes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know kids who like aeroplanes.
That's separate.
Yeah? It's still called in this breakdown that you hate the aeroplane because you're using the aeroplane to go skiing.
Right.
Now this is why it's a cover-up. Now when you're doing something not as an end unto itself, for example, you're not going to see me skiing. I mean, you might actually see me skiing, yeah, but you're not going to see my Rav skiing. When you watch someone doing something as an end unto itself, that's a gilui of the person. You learn something about them. This guy's skiing.
Okay, so
you're that kind of a person.
Wait,
stay with me. The guy, if you see someone skiing, he's a that kind of a person. If you see someone surfing, they're a that kind of a person. Mm. If you see someone studying, they're a that kind of a person, yeah? But what about when you see the guy on the aeroplane?
They're all the same.
You've got, what?
They look the same, can't define.
The guy might actually hate flying.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think that he's mamash, he's into flying, he's on an aeroplane. Well, if you're on an aeroplane, you're into flying, no? No, I'm on an aeroplane because I'm trying to go skiing. So the malacha covers over the kedusha.
But what if I like,
the malacha
covers
over the
tachlis. Like you said, if I like flying also.
Okay, fine. So it's all relative. Again, you can think, you should
move. Let's say
stuff into
the like to cook. I like
Wait, before
cook.
Let's
say I like to cook.
I'm just trying to understand what I said.
I also like to cook. Can I cook on Shabbat?
You could understand. Try and understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm saying this is a lost art. I don't know if it was ever found. Trying to understand. I've painted a picture to you. I've given mashalim and stuff. Whenever there's a mashal, you can get caught up in all kinds of ideas and not understand.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say, when you're doing something and to understand things, you need to make them black and white. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's why the Gemara constantly makes things black and white. So. When you're doing something for something else, that's called klipa, that covers you over. You
even
don't
if you
reveal,
enjoy it. Even if you enjoy it.
Well, then if you're enjoying it and you're doing it for yourself, that might be the end. To answer you up is, if I love planes, then what am I, when I'm at the airport, what am I thinking about? The plane or the skiing?
Right, okay.
So then it becomes an end unto itself.
It's
all, it gets very complicated,
right.
You know, and then there's periods in the plane, and then there's emotions, etc., etc.
Most people like babies behind you in the plane.
Look, what we're trying to say, is that Shabbos is when Hashem rests from doing stuff that he doesn't particularly want to do.
It's a klipa.
That's called Shabbos. So you rest from doing stuff that you don't particularly want to do. Now just finish. So that means you take off your hat. Yeah, you're a plumber, you're an accountant, you're a photographer. You let go of that role. Yeah? Because that's something that you have to do. Yeah, and this is the point. You let go of, you're an artist, you have to get rid of that. You know what you don't let go of? When someone says to me, well, you're doing all of these things, yeah, you let go of all your roles, but then on Shabbos you become a parent, you've got children, you become a parent, mamash ad asof. You didn't let go of all your roles, you're playing the role of a parent. No, being a parent is not a role.
Being a parent is a
tzias. It's a tzias.
What about being a rabbi?
Yeah, that could be a role, or it could be, it shouldn't be a role. That's why tzaddik is called Shabbos. But it can definitely become a role, 100%. Everything, being a parent can also become a role. All of these, everything can become klipa. The Torah Kadosha, Chas V'Shalom, can be used in a terrible way. If what you're trying to do is get to Olam Haba, if that's your pleasure, if that's klipa. Your tachlis, then mitzvahs klipa. Have become klipa. Mitzvahs are a means to an end. Rahman al-Islam. You hear what we're saying here? How deep what we're saying? So Shabbos, that's why Malach is called Malach. From Lashon Malach, what's the difference between Malachim and Neshamas? Is Hashem wants Neshamas. He needs Malachim. He uses Malachim. But he actually wants Neshamas, just like you need your child. And when we say you need your child, this is, we'll finish on this. When you say you need your child, we don't mean you need your child to clean the house.
No.
We need, I'll give you a good example.
You
need
your child.
You need your child. I'll tell you what I mean.
He's explaining.
You do need your, you need your child. You need every one of your children. You need your children. I'll explain. Yeah? Even your baby, you need. You need your baby. And I'll give you, to explain this, I've had this a few times. I had a few Shabbosim ago when we came to Rehavia, and we were with Fiyol Halpin's Baritza, and I was with my whole family. And one of my children, I had 10 children, and one of my children was on a holiday in the Ukraine. And I felt, and I'm a very, like, you know, I look at the good and all that kind of stuff, yeah? I felt like I didn't have my family with me. I was missing a child. That's what it means by you need your children. You're missing one child, you should feel, and again, don't, oh, it's Paro, you know, Haman had everyone balance him and not, and you say, no, look, we're good, we're not talking about that, we're talking about now the Metzias. You need your children like that, so when you're at your Shabbos table, and your children aren't there at the Shabbos table with you, that's what's chaser. When the Rabbeinu Shlomo has a yid who's not sitting at the Shabbos table with him, that's what we mean by he needs his children. Not some kind of coarse need to do the dishes or to trim my beard. You just, like, you need your baby. Yeah? My baby does nothing for me. My baby, in fact, the opposite. I'm a slave, I'm not. My wife is a slave to our baby, yeah? So my baby needs me. This is what Rav Manis kept saying when Rav Manis has said, he got in huge trouble for this, that God needs us more than we need him. Yeah, if you hear that, you're like, oh, koifa, koifa, koifa. Yeah, if you've sat in this shiur that we've just given for an hour and a half, you understand what he's saying now. Just like my son didn't need to be with the family, he went off to the Ukraine, yeah, and was going to a different kavarim. I needed my son with me. And I was lacking because my son wasn't there. And that brings the whole thing about to where we got to at the end. So I don't know what AI is. That's the end of the shiur. Yeah, but it's making me think that all of these things that we thought were the point of being human are actually not. And now we're going to discover what it really means to be a human being, what it really means to be a Jewish.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.